Thank you. I believe your name is Olivia.
Yes?
Thank you very much, Olivia. Bringing in guest violinists, I love it. In our sermon series on Limitless, we've looked at a number of ways that God is unlimited. He knows no bounds, but to me, one of the most amazing is his unlimited wisdom, or his omniscience is the word that we often use. His ability to know everything. He not only understands all of the complexities of this world, he understands all of the sciences, all of the mathematics, all of the physics, all of the chemistries. In fact, he not only understands them, but he ordained them. He made them. It amazes me how many times I hear people talk about those disciplines of science and math and physics and chemistry, etc., as though those entities in and of themselves have all the answers. All I need to do is go to science if I want all of the answers. And yet God was the one who invented science and mathematics. And it also amazes me that these entities, these disciplines, are continually researching and experimenting and discovering. So apparently they don't know it all. As much as we would like to think that they do, they are constantly learning and they are not omniscient. Now, I may be a bit cynical here, but I'm seldom impressed by a person who claims to be a know-it-all. You know somebody like that, a person who thinks that they have all of the answers? To me, they're kind of like this.
And now, here's Mr. Know-It-All to tell you how to conquer your acrophobia.
Thank you. The first thing to remember is that crabgrass is your friend.
Oh, if you can turn it up a little bit.
Acrophobia is a fear of high places.
Oh, yeah. Thought it was crabgrass. First, the way to lose that heart-pounding fear is go to a high place and jump off. With a parachute, of course. Then, after the count of three, you pull the ripcord. Which sometimes may not work, so you pull the emergency string. And thereby lose that old fear of falling. Next, we have the indoor fear that usually attacks the ceiling painting. The important thing is that you do not look down. Look to the side. Do not look up. For if you do, your fear of height will... Next, we have the fear of even lesser heights. When standing on stools, sometimes they teeter. That means you should place the stool on a softer surface where the legs will sink in a little, like this soft, mushy ground, for instance. See? No teetering.
Hey, Mr. Know-It-All, if you're telling us how to lose our fear of heights, why are you digging a hole?
'Cause a lot's happened to me, and I'm kind of scared to stand up there where you are.
Oh, well, you're not scared now, are you?
No, not as soon as I get my other shoe off. My heels are too high.
Ah, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Now that's cartoons. You know, that's what the way cartoons should be. Just my own opinion. But people that seem to know it all are frequently proven wrong because they don't know it all. Now, I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to preaching a sermon about God's omniscience, I know that I'm going to fall short. You know, I'm talking about an entity that knows everything using a mind that doesn't know everything. And that has proven to me time after time after time how little I know. The more I've heard this said in the past, but the more I learn, the less I know. Especially when I'm dealing with God. The bigger God gets, the smaller I get because I realize how big God is. Even the prophet Isaiah, he said, who has known the mind of God? Who has instructed him? Who can be his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? The understanding of Isaiah was pretty clear. God is simply God. God is simply omniscient. He is simply full of wisdom. I'm never going to be able to comprehend it or understand it. because I am not. But not only does God possess unlimited knowledge of the things of this world, he also possesses unlimited knowledge of me and of each and every one of us in this room. He knows everything about us. He knew us while we were still in the womb. He sees the beginning and the end of all things, including us. That's what the psalmist says. You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. There is nothing about us that is outside of God's knowledge or wisdom. And so I approach this topic with kind of the same sense of awe that Paul expressed in his book to the Romans. Romans is an interesting book. If you read through the book of Romans, you'll find that there's 11 chapters where Paul is sharing the gospel and the power of the gospel. Step by step, he has shown God's way of putting sinners right with himself. He describes how God died for our sins, how he was raised for our justification, how we are unified and united with Christ in his death and resurrection, and how the Christian life is lived not under the law, but under the Spirit. And of course, how God plans to incorporate the fullness of Israel and the Gentiles into his kingdom. And Paul spends a great deal of time exploring each of those. And then he comes to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, he kind of takes a breath, if you will. In chapter 11, at least in my scripture, there's a little heading right above verse 33 that says doxology. Now, we know what the doxology is. It's in all of our hymnals. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The word doxology literally means a word of glory or praise. Doxa meaning glory or praise, and logos meaning a word. Doxology. So it's actually a specific expression of praise to God. And the Apostle Paul, in the middle of the book of Romans, takes time to give God some praise. Let me just read these words for you. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." What incredible words. What simple and completely awe-inspiring ideas. Words full of the wonder of God's glorious wisdom and power. It just really staggers the imagination and the mind of even the most mature Christian. God's wisdom is mysterious. And it is powerful. And it is all-encompassing. And it is both deep and rich. And it comes, well, Paul uses every word that he can imagine to express the deep feelings in his heart and his adoration of God. And he begins by simply saying, God's wisdom is deep. God's wisdom is deep. And I'm trying to think in my own mind, my own limited understanding, what does that mean? To have deep wisdom. To me, and maybe you have a different idea, but to me, a deep wisdom is a wisdom that goes to the core of everything. You know, we talk about having deep, dark secrets. Secrets that nobody else has ever known. We haven't told a single soul, nor will we ever. God's wisdom knows those secrets. Because his wisdom is deep. His knowledge is deep. He knows everything deeply. He knows all of our motives. He knows our will. But he doesn't do it in a way to try to exploit us. He just wants us to realize that there is nothing about us that can escape God. We try to hide, we just can't escape. But the other part of this is not only is God's wisdom deep, but his wisdom is rich. Imagine that. Wealthy wisdom. Just a week ago or so, we had a couple of people, one in Maryland and one in Michigan, that won the Powerball and the Mega Millions. You know, they are now millionaires multiple times over. And a lot of us might say, wow, they're rich. And maybe we think that they are. But God's wisdom is so rich that we cannot even begin to measure it. You can go online and you can type in the wealthiest person in the world and you'll probably come up with the name of Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, CEO of Amazon. His wealth right now is worth, I don't know, about $225 billion. And we might think, what does a person need all of that money for? I'll just take, you know, one of those millions instead of the 2,250 million that he has. I'll just live on one of those. And yet, God's wisdom makes Jeff Bezos' wealth look like a pauper. That's how rich God's wisdom is. And yet, human beings, we just don't seem to want to bask in the wealth of God's wisdom. We push it aside. We set it away. We don't want to be counted or measured by God's wisdom. We would rather blame God for not knowing our circumstances, for not knowing the depth of our hurt. We would rather say, God, you don't have resources to handle my issues. You don't have ways to take care of me. And yet, the Apostle Paul is saying God's wisdom is deep and it is rich. It is also unsearchable. Again, I just went online and I typed in the words, how many pages are on the World Wide Web? How many pages? 5.5 billion pages are on the World Wide Web. Do you realize that if you spent 1 second searching every one of those pages, you would finally finish searching the World Wide Web in only 174 years and 3 months. All of the pages on the World Wide Web are searchable. Some probably ought not to. But the wisdom of God is unsearchable. We will never reach the end of that. It is just not for us to plumb the depths of. We need to just trust in the wisdom of God. But the last thing that Paul says that I think is really interesting is that the wisdom of God is such that his paths are beyond tracing out. When I looked up those words, basically what this was saying was God's wisdom cannot be mapped. You can't trace it out. So again, I'm trying to think of the biggest thing that I can ever imagine and how scientists and mathematicians have tried to map out this very huge thing. And so I thought, well, how about the universe? I know that they have been mapping stars and they've been sending out probes so that they can map planets and they can find new galaxies and they've got Hubble Space Telescopes and they've got all of these amazing pictures from galaxies. And so I just typed once again into the World Wide Web on one of those 5.5 billion pages, how big or how wide, how far across is the universe? The answer that they came up with, 93 billion light years across. 93 billion light years across. I don't know how they know that. I don't know how they calculate that. But I do know is that a light year is the distance that light travels in a year. Light travels pretty fast. In a light year, a light year equals 5. And I can't even begin to imagine this number, 5.8786254 with 12 zeros behind it, miles. That's how far light goes in 1 year. Now, multiply that times 93 billion. Yeah, we can't begin to imagine how big the universe is because our minds are so tiny and so small, and God's wisdom is bigger than that. You can't even map it out. You can't even calculate a light year, let alone 93 billion light years. I have a book in my library that I've had for a very long time. You can tell by the cover, and it's written by J.B. Phillips. It's called Your God is Too Small. J.B. Phillips was a writer from many, many years ago. In fact, the copyright date of this book, I don't even know that they have one because it's so old. Oh, this is the 22nd printing of this book, 1966. Okay, so it's an old book. But the truth of this book has never gone out of date. You see, our God is too small if we don't think about the bigness and the majesty and the magnitude of God. If we think that we have God figured out, then our God is not big enough to be worshiped. If you think that you can figure God out, don't even bother worshiping him, because he's just not big enough. He's too small. You see, no matter how diligently we have studied God's word, no matter how much emphasis we have put on learning all of the things we need to know about theology and soteriology and all of the studies about the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus Christ and all of the things about God, we cannot ever get to the point where we have attained the wisdom of God. King David once again establishes that such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And at some point, we need to have a God that has unlimited wisdom. You see, at some point, we need to submit to the fact that there are things God knows that we will never be able to figure out. There are things that we have and people have been studying for thousands of years and have still never come to understanding the different what is election versus free will, what is sovereignty versus our responsibility, what is forgiveness and what is punishment? How can we have a loving God who does both eternal damnation and eternal life? Lifetimes have been spent reading and studying and pondering and arguing, debating about some of the things that we will never reconcile in our brains because we are too small in our knowledge. And so after all of that, Paul confirms once again God's wisdom by going to the very quote that we spoke of early. He references Isaiah chapter 40. When he says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things. And then there's only one more thing that you can do. To him be the glory forever. Amen. My friends, when it comes to wisdom, I want to leave you with some words about wisdom that were spoken, or written actually, by the wisest man to have ever lived. His name is King Solomon. And this is an adaptation or an active portrayal of the words of Proverbs chapter 8.
Isn't Lady Wisdom calling? Listen, don't you hear the voice of understanding crying out? She's taken her stand at the highest place in the city, at the crossroads, where everyone can see her. There, and at the gates, at the entrance to the city, right in front of the city doors, she cries out.
Oh, people, I am calling to you. I have a message for all humanity.
You gullible people,
acquire insight. You naive ones, cultivate a heart that truly understands. Listen, for I am about to tell you of unparalleled excellence and beauty. What I am about to say will set things right. I will only speak the truth. I despise evil, so it will not pass through my lips. Everything I say promotes justice. Not one word is crooked, and nothing is distorted. Each and every word is straight talk to perceptive people, upright and honest to knowledge seekers. Accept my correction as being more valuable than your prized possession. Authentic knowledge more valuable than pure gold.
You see, no gem is more precious than Lady Wisdom. Your most extravagant desire doesn't come close to her.
Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us to seek wisdom. For we know that you have asked us to know you and to know you as best we possibly can, even with our limited understanding. But I am grateful, Lord, that you know us, that you know us intimately and deeply, and that you have provided us with the opportunity to seek wisdom. I ask, Lord, that we will pursue it. For we know, Lord, that only in your understanding and only in your wisdom will we be able to truly find truth. Guide us, Lord. We know that we're going to muddle through this world with our limited understanding and our limited brains. Sometimes we're going to claim things that we understand more readily than we really should. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us humility so that we may be able to bask in the depth and the richness and the unsearchableness of your wisdom. For you have seen our need for salvation, and you have provided a way. Guide us, Lord. Continue to remind us that you are omniscient. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us with the faith to be able to believe that fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.